Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication call-in show on LA Talk Radio. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of world-renowned psychotherapist Dr. Pat Allen for more than 50 years. The Wan Institute offers help and guidance with relationship and communication tools. We currently offer ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Pat Allen, myself, and Kelly Ward. We also offer one-on-one relationship communication coaching. If you want more information on our monthly ladies groups or one-on-one coaching, please call the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. You can also check out our website, www.drpatallen.com. Also, please stay tuned to the 5 p.m. show, Your Dream Life, in which Patricia Eltidge, Dr. Pat Allen's colleague, will interpret your dreams. Tonight, we have a special guest, Dr. White. He's a colleague of Dr. Pat Allen's. He offers a Zoom weight loss group. And he's here. We had a group a couple months ago, and he's here to talk about it and see if anybody else would like to join. Dr. White, are you there with us?
I sure am.
And how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. We're looking forward to this.
Oh, okay. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your weight loss group?
Sure. This group is based on the work of Dr. Judith Beck, who's a well-known psychologist and one of the people who developed cognitive therapy. Her father, Aaron Beck, gets most of the credit for developing cognitive therapy, but his daughter, Judith Beck, continues the tradition. And using cognitive therapy with depression and anxiety and various other things. And then she got the idea of using it with weight loss developed a program based on science. The thing I liked about it was that she just doesn't say it works. She has research and data, and I've just always been a consumer advocate. So I like people having some science backing up their claims of things, and that was this. So I took one of Dr. Beck's workshops and made an announcement at the end of it that I wanted to form a group for overweight psychologists, and I was one of them. So I got a bunch of responses. We put together a six-week program. I was the primary facilitator. Everybody not only lost weight, because people lose weight on almost every diet, but the key thing here is maintaining that weight loss and knowing what to do when you start to gain weight again, which is almost inevitable for any kind of diet. So that's the essence of it. Have your questions?
Okay. We've got one that we're trying to get a hold of. One of your past attendees, and Sam at the switchboard.
Sure.
I can call her again. I also participated in the group. There was like six or seven of us, and we met weekly, and we all shared our information, and we all did our own diet program. But it was a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy type, as far as weight loss, kind of different tools, which was good. And you're going to be starting this in the next couple of months. And where can they reach you to get information on this group?
You can phone me at 310-383-4604. You can text me at that number. Those are probably the best ways. You can use email, which is jeffrey.white@gmail.com. Jeffrey with a G, though. It's jeffrey.white, W-H-I-T-E, at Gmail. So Can I say a few more things about the group, or you want?
Well, we're trying to hook up Lorena to be a testimonial here, but it's like the I think she's on. Right. Lorena, are you?
I'm here.
Do you want to give us a testimony for Dr. Jeff's workshop?
Sure. I'll mention that it's been very helpful for me to be learning about the why is it that I overeat. Not so much in terms of the particular diet, but really digging deep into why I have the thoughts that I have that get in the way or that interfere with my ability to make good choices around the food I eat, the exercise I do or don't do, and the choice of the thoughts that I choose to keep in my mind, whether it's, I mean, I messed up now, might as well eat whatever I want. So it's really about changing my thoughts. So I've really appreciated learning more about the negative thinking that I keep or that I have, which really has been a barrier to making good choices.
That's great. And Dr. White's going to be offering this group in another couple weeks. How many people can register? How many attendees do you want?
Eight people is ideal.
Okay.
A few more or a few less, but eight people is ideal.
And how many weeks will the program be?
There are 6 weeks, one meeting per week for 6 weeks, and then we have some follow-up. Then we wait a few weeks for the seventh meeting and then a few extra weeks for the eighth meeting. So people get a chance to see how they do on their own without the group, without the formal group. But by then, people have a good relationship with a coach, a diet coach. That's one of the important, powerful features of this, is everybody finds at least one coach who can talk with them at least once or twice a week and go over how they're doing and help them apply the principles of the group to their situation. People are not isolated with this. You can use the Beck Diet Solution on your own, but research shows, and I found it much more powerful and much more enjoyable to do this with a group of people who form a trusting relationship among themselves, to be open about the kind of thinking they're doing that leads them back into the kind of eating that they don't really want to do.
Oh, that's true. And again, so what is your contact number?
310-383-4604.
And if you didn't get down that number, you can always call me at the Wan Institute and I'll help you get in contact with Dr. White if you have any questions.
Yeah.
And this is going to start in the next couple of weeks when we get a group of people interested, or is there a certain date you're starting?
We'll wait and see. Hopefully we'll get 6 or 8 or 10 people, and then we will pick the exact start date, which, as you say, will be within the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
I want to also mention that anybody who calls, I'll talk to them. You know, we'll have a lengthy interview where I can answer questions and make sure that the person is suitable for the group and that this is the right match for them. If it's not, then I'm happy to provide other resources for how people can deal with their weight loss issues. So it's not just we start out of nowhere with a group of strangers. You know, it's important for me to get to know people a little bit before we start the group.
Mm-hmm. And we have our testimonial there that she's now, do you want to share any of your weight success, or you don't have to if you don't want to?
Well, the main success is the mindfulness, to be really mindful of where negative thinking is interfering. For example, if it's, it's so late, I already didn't do my exercise, I'm not going to do it. So that's negative thinking, because I realize I still have time. I can meet my goal that I set for myself to walk 10,000 steps. I'm almost there. I can walk another 500 steps. So I think that's really changed. So now after this program, I do not go to bed unless I've met my 10,000 steps. Even if I have to walk around the bathroom or apartment, I'm kind of setting in some habits that I won't, the day won't end. So, you know, I'm still working on it, extending into my, you know, measuring foods or things like that. I haven't gotten there, but I've really just been very appreciative of the group, Dr. White, Sue, just your ability to hone in on the why to the overeating, the why to the lack of exercise, and really to how do skinny people think? You know, they think differently than me, because if I'm happy, I eat. If I'm sad, I eat. So it's really kind of changing my thoughts and my perspective. So I really appreciate you both and the rest of the group.
Thank you. Thank you. So with that, again, what is your contact number, Dr. White?
310-383-4604.
Okay. Well, we thank you both for coming on. And we will maybe have you on in the future to give us an update on the group, how it's going.
Anytime.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks, Elena. Thanks, Sue.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Okay, we've got Kelly on the phone. Unfortunately, Kelly, do you want to, it's me and Kelly tonight. Do you want to talk at all about Dr. Allen?
Yeah, you know, I would like to say something because I've got a lot of text messages and a lot of calls. So Dr. Allen had a spill. She took a spill and she broke her elbow. She did have surgery on that elbow. She came through with flying colors. She's doing fine. She has started her groups back up after a very short and probably too brief of rest period. So for everybody out there who's been texting me, who's been messaging me, I want you all to know that Dr. Allen is fine. She's not here with us tonight because we had Jeff White and Lorena on with us tonight. So we're just having her rest up a little bit and she'll be back right as rain and starting next week.
So if anybody wants to call in, me and Kelly or April work relationship communication coaches under the WAN Institute. We can answer calls. Oh, we have a caller here. Caller, do you have a question for Kelly or myself?
I do. This is the lady.
Oh,
the
yes.
Widow.
Okay. What's going on?
Everything is going pretty good. My question is... he sent me an avatar of himself with the heart symbol, like that, the man's hands was doing a heart.
That's good.
And yeah, so I haven't asked him about, like, what does that mean? But
no,
what do you think that means?
No. We're not, you know what? We're not gathering more information. Just say thank you. That was nice of you.
Okay.
You're trying to get a result on, you're trying to project more meaning into what he's sending and wanting details. That's masculine.
Okay.
You're just receiving. You're just receiving a nice gesture. And all you have to do is say, thank you. That was so nice of you to reach out to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you agree with that, Kelly? Or do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I just have a question. So he sent you a little avatar, right?
Yes.
And it was like what? She mean the heart emoji?
It was an avatar of himself, and the hands of the avatar was in the shape of a heart in the center of his chest.
Yeah, see, I might have done something like I might have sent an avatar back winking. You know, the avatar with a winky face.
Uh-huh.
He's sort of like acknowledging and like that was a flirt and I'm giving you a flirt back.
Yes, but okay. Don't ask him what it meant. Don't ask him any details on what his emoji meant.
Okay. Definitely not. Just respond either like, oh, I like that, or thank you, or with your own little emoji, which I think would be fun.
Okay. So I have a little bit more detail to share. Can I?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we had a conversation maybe 2 weeks ago. It was about an hour. And within that hour, he asked me three times, when will I invite him over to spend the night? And so I kind of played it off. I didn't really give him an answer. But the next day I saw him and I asked if we were alone because his children live with him. And he said yes. And so I told him that I was going to spend the night. So I did, and we did what I call sensual pleasure. There was no intercourse like penis in the mouth or vagina or anus or any of that stuff. So
okay.
Just touching.
Okay.
And so it seemed like since that point, that's when he sent me the emoji, heart emoji, like a couple of days later. And it just seems like it's taken a different turn, a positive turn. Like I feel like there's less thick walls between the both of us. I was like, I let my walls down a little bit, and I think he's let his down as well. And so any thoughts on that?
Well, you're just doing heavy petting, so there's really nothing.
Yeah.
Like Pat said, you're just fooling around. If he wants to do the insertion, then it's best to have the talk about, are we going to be exclusive?
Yeah.
Okay. That's when you say, I really appreciate you want to have intercourse or make love. However, I'm not comfortable unless I'm in a committed long-term relationship headed for marriage or mating. What are your thoughts?
Right. Yeah,
that's what you say.
I've mentioned that before. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't hear he's pushing to get in. He's pushing to fool around. So when he does push to get in, what's your thoughts, Kelly?
I think that one of the interesting things is we know that he's been going through it. You know, he's detoxing from a long-term relationship that ended in death. So I think the little bit of sensual play that you guys had was probably something that really motivated him, since the heart avatar came after that. I think that's pretty significant with respect to that, which means he's sort of getting an attachment to you. And I think that's important. I don't think you should have intercourse. I'm a firm believer in what Dr. Allen says about that, and also about the bonding. Well, I think that women have a tendency to bond even with the sensual play. It's not as great as it is when you actually have engaged in intercourse. So I think you're doing all of the right things. I think that you're being what Dr. Pat Allen talks about, passive, patient, and vulnerable. I think you staying over with him was really a huge leap in your vulnerability, because you were quite trepidous about that in the past with respect to how his daughters would react and things of that nature. So I really see that you're following the program, and it's refreshing. It seems to be getting good results for you too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's encouraging. Good.
it may not be as quick as you'd like it, but
I know I do want it.
But
right
that's
away,
part
but...
of being feminine. It's the slow road. Teaches you a lesson to be patient.
Yeah. It does. I am learning that. So when I was at his family gave him a surprise birthday party, and his adopted daughter told him to invite me to the party.
Uh-huh.
Well, to come over. And so I'm an affectionate person. So, you know, I mentioned a haircut that he had, and I touched his head and his face and stuff. And so his daughter I saw her looking at me, and she always gives me this, like, I can't even describe the look, but it's like you're touching my father kind of look.
Well,
now you're
trying to mind read. We don't go there.
Okay. Yeah.
You're projecting what she may give you a smile, and you may be thinking the worst. So that's dangerous. Yeah. That don't ever mind.
Okay.
Read. Yeah. That could be dangerous.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I guess I've shared all that I have information and facts on.
Well, that's enough. That's a good share.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Also, remember little girls, even when they're grown-up girls, daddy is still really important to them. So even if she is looking at it, she may just be questioning, like, what are your intentions toward my father? Which seems like a really different role reversal with respect to that. Mm-hmm. But because of his age and because of their age, that's kind of normal. When my dad was first, him and my mother had parted ways, the woman my dad was dating, I'd kind of look at her like that, like, what's your intention? Like, are you going to hurt my dad? Like, what are you doing? So, and it wasn't intentional, but I think it's just something that occurs. I don't take it personally, just try to let it roll off and understand that that's her daddy.
Okay. From that perspective, I definitely understand. And not to try to read. Thank you, Sue.
Yeah, don't mind. Don't project what you're thinking, because your subconscious will always come up with generally the worst scenario.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Always stay in a positive mindset. Don't let your subconscious come up and start to sabotage good things.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, ladies.
It was posted. We love hearing from you.
I will. Okay, thank you. All right.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, caller.
Bye. Thanks for the update.
Oh,
thank you.
If you want to call, it's 323-203-0815. And at 5:00, Patricia Eltinge will be interpreting dreams. So stay tuned to have your dream interpreted at 5 with Patricia on LA Talk Radio. Anything else there, Kelly?
You know what? I just was thinking about
that. We have a caller. Oh, caller, you're on the air with Kelly and Sue. Do you have a question we can help you with?
Hi, yes, I do. Thank you so much. So long story short, I'm hoping you guys can help me. I'm kind of in a tough spot with my fiance. Okay. We were together for about a year and a half. But he proposed, and there was a lot of issues with the proposal. He proposed without a ring, and he didn't want to set a date. And I ended up leaving him for it because I wanted to be married. I was following the Pat Allen, and I set a boundary that if we're not going to set a date or, have a ring and tell your family and stuff like that, then, maybe this isn't for me. But he's since come back. The issue now is that he doesn't trust me because I broke up with him once before.
Okay.
And now he's like, well, I don't want to do the wedding right away because you broke up with me before. I'm afraid that you're going to just initiate divorce right after we marry. So I don't want to get married within the next
guess
year.
Guess what? Unfortunately, I'm hearing that he was afraid the first time and was afraid to put a date on it. So terminated it. Now he's coming back and he's blaming you for it again.
Yeah.
And
I've let him know that I'm okay to keep dating him.
When you say I let him know, do you lecture him or how are you communicating to him? Are you telling him or are you communicating your uncomfortable feelings?
I've only been communicating my uncomfortable feelings. So he asked me to move in I guess now our big issue is that I've let him know I'm now comfortable living with him unless we have a set wedding date.
Perfect. That's a good way. I like that.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And also I let him know that I'm not comfortable having intercourse with him now until after marriage because I'm a little bit apprehensive that he's going to back out and I don't think he's quite safe or trust me enough to want to go through with the marriage even if I waited a year. So
what about
my intuition is telling me
what I'm hearing is he's scared and you're scared. You're both kind of afraid to take a risk and that's what I hear between the two. It might do good to go to a counselor to help you negotiate a win-win. somebody that can mediate both people. He can go in there and talk about his thinking that you're going to leave him, and you can go in there and say you're uncomfortable not having a date, because those are both valid.
Right.
And then she can dig in more and maybe negotiate a win-win to move you towards a marriage date or to trust. Because remember what Dr. Allen says, don't trust anybody. Watch their trustworthy record. You could be perfect for 20 years and he could cheat on you in 1 hour.
That's right.
I mean, it's just, right. We are all fallible. We do stupid things sometimes. Any advice for her on your behalf, Kelly, that's different?
No, I think counseling is in order, definitely. But there's a compatibility issue. If you're both in that place where neither one of you is trusting the other, I can tell you this, it usually doesn't resolve on its own. It usually takes work to resolve that. And if you get into, you know, 5 years down the road and, oh, remember that time, So the remember that time thing isn't really forgiveness. It's like, okay, I'm taking all of these things and I'm putting them in Pandora's box. And we're going to get to a place where I'm going to open that box. And you know what happened when Pandora opened her box? Hell reigned on earth for 1,000 years. So that's the kind of the thing that I'm looking at. It's like, he's taking these things, you know, we can take these beautiful things and put them in our envelope and keep them and take them out and cherish them. And there's also those other things that we can put in Pandora's box. And when we take them out, they're ugly. So if that's where you're heading down the line, I think that if you don't go to counseling, that you're going to end up with problems. I think Sue's right on with the counseling thing.
Yeah, because you both you both have to be heard, and I don't want you telling him how it's going to be, and it's not fair for him to tell you how it's going to be. You need to have a third person that can help you both negotiate a comfort plan or contract that can get you both to the same place of being comfortable.
Okay, that makes sense. I will make an appointment with him and see if he's willing to go to counseling. Talked with Dr. Allen before, and he does not want me to ever talk to Dr. Pat Allen again. He said.
Well, you know what? You can contact me on the side, and I have I have referrals. And if he doesn't want to go, come back on the show, and we can come up with another script on how to get him to go to a counselor. You've got my contact info at drpatallen.com.
Yes, I
do. Send me an email and I can give you people that are similar to work with Dr. Allen.
Okay, that'll be good. Other question, just relating to that, I was thinking, or I was just wondering if me saying that I'm not comfortable having sex until marriage, whereas before it was, I was comfortable having intercourse with him because we were engaged. And he's saying that I'm being narcissistic, but I was not. I just thought it was setting a new boundary and just in a way that is self-preserving, I suppose. I would do this for every man now for like moving forward. It will be marriage for me now. But he's saying that I'm punishing him and being narcissistic.
Well, there's two sides. He can say you're punishing him and being narcissistic because that's how he feels. You know, he does have feelings. But on the second part, we have to listen to your wants and not wants. You went with the program and he disappointed you as well. So the price went up. And you have a right to withhold an, intercourse until you're married because you went with his program and he didn't have a date and he didn't have a ring. So he kind of failed you as well. So the price, the price tag went up because he was too waffly on making a contract with you.
Okay. Yep. That makes sense. Yeah.
Don't okay, take the guilt. Don't try to guiltify you. Don't take it. He has every right to feel he got, you know, that you are guiltifying him. But then again, you have your wants and not wants as well.
Dr.
Allen talks about people who communicate in a vague way as a bad communicator.
Mm-hmm.
That's very vague.
Yeah.
Not setting
he's
a date.
Being very vague. Even
well,
now.
Yeah.
He's saying in a year, maybe.
Or well, yeah, that's like
we can set a date later. Yeah.
But then mm-hmm. he gets to have all the cookies for free.
Yeah, but I have to have sex now. But
well,
he gets to decide when.
You gave him the deal to make a date and have the cookies, but he blew it is what I'm hearing. Now we withheld the contract mm-hmm. for free sex because now you want to be married now. So he did have a good
yeah.
deal before. He didn't do very good job with making the contract. That would
yep,
make you
yep,
happy.
That's the. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be
okay.
a win-win.
I will,
you got part of the contract.
Yeah.
Failed the rest.
Exactly. Yeah. So I know there's both. There's two sides to the story always. So I've been open to him, but I'm also okay to start over. I think if he's not willing to go to counseling, then I'm willing
well,
to walk away. So.
The way you present it, you know, you do go, I have something I want to ask you. Is this a good time? And you could say, you know, I really mm-hmm. don't want to terminate our relationship. You stroke him. I love our relationship. However, I want to go to a counselor to salvage our differences. What are your thoughts on checking into a counselor to help with our differences?
Okay, that's wonderful. I will write that down. I'll listen.
This is on
the
recording. It's on the recording. You can listen to it. Keep it simple because I don't want you lecturing
yeah.
him on what he has to do, but you're just presenting this information.
Okay, perfect. I will listen to the podcast again. Thank you so much.
Okay. Call us back and let us know how it goes.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Give us an update. Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Bye. What were you going to say before, Kelly, before we got interrupted? Kelly, are you there? Oh, what were you going to say?
I was just saying that, yeah, you know, the other thing, too, is he's being vague. He's saying she's punishing him because of the situation with the sex, but he's punishing her by not giving her a date.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She was giving him sex, though, before, but since he was being vague on the date and the ring, she said, no way, I'm not doing this. Isn't that what? Oh, we have another caller here. Caller, you're
awesome.
On the with Kelly and Sue, do you have a question for us?
I do. Hi. I called a couple of weeks ago, or rather a few weeks ago, and I
uh-huh.
did take your advice. Although I will admit I didn't follow all the way through. I was advised to give him the gentleman that I'm dating 8 weeks. So we're
uh-huh.
not in an official relationship. When we've been dating since I'll say December, whenever I bring the topic up, he talks about how fast things are going and that he would like a relationship, but it just doesn't work that way to move that fast. Nevertheless, I have cut all contact with him in the past. He has come back. And recently, I presented the question again about wanting to be in a committed relationship. He said, in a sense, flat out, he wasn't interested.
Well, stop right there. Tell me how you presented this contract. What did you say to him about you want to be in a committed relationship? What were your words?
So I'm stern and I've been told that I have an authoritative tone.
Yeah, because when I I want to hear how you presented this.
Okay, I simply said, so what are we doing? I mean, I need to know what we're doing.
Yeah, that's a little harsh. If a man wants sex, and listen to this, if he wants intercourse, you stroke him. You say, thank you so much for seeing me as sexually desirable. However, I'm not comfortable having sex/intercourse unless I'm in a committed relationship, exclusive committed relationship headed for marriage.
Okay.
That's about your boundary.
Okay. Okay.
When you...
Okay.
Yeah, because he's wanting sex, but you want sex only if you're in a committed relationship, either with him or somebody else. So your delivery was a little masculine.
Very much so. I do admit that, yeah. And overall, what happened was, overall, his response was, I don't know. So I stopped talking to him. And then we started talking again. And then I called your show and you guys told me. Oh, no, actually, I'm sorry. When he said, I don't know, is that I was advised by you ladies to write a letter and wait 8 weeks. Well, I didn't write a letter.
Well,
I verbalized it.
Let me say something, too. When he said, let me think about it, he was in his feminine.
When he said, I don't know, he asked that we pray together.
Feminine.
And then
you were in your masculine and he dropped down to feminine.
Okay. Is that
he was receiving the information and he was thinking how, he took it just like a feminine girl. She has to think about it. She'd go back and process it if it feels good.
Right. And so what I did do, I wrote bullet notes and so forth. And I did, I actually spoke to him as if I would have, if I had actually handwritten the letter. And I stopped talking to him. He did communicate with me. He did reach out. Still, the conversation of commitment has not come up. But recently, as far as like as last week, he introduced me to his aunt, who's very near and dear to him. She's like a mother to him. His mother's deceased. And I'm all the way confused because he's introduced me to his aunt. He's super affectionate in front of his aunt. I don't know what to do with that. And
well,
I find myself going.
He's super affectionate to his aunt, but is he super affectionate to you?
Yes, when his aunt is around. Yes. Okay, so he is affectionate. Let me not say he's not. He is affectionate. I was shocked that in front of his aunt, he was so affectionate.
Let's don't go there and mind read.
Okay.
Yeah, you're trying to jump over on what he's doing. We don't analyze a person that's not in the room to speak for themselves.
That's a hard one to process, but okay.
Yeah, he's doing his thing, and you want to know why he's doing it. It's confusing you acting that way. That's not your business.
Right.
That's controlling. So it's better to stick on what you want to do and what you not want to do rather than jumping over and trying to figure him out.
Okay.
But I'm hearing that you're a little too stern wanting this list of requests done in a manner where you're in charge.
That's what it sounds like. And even though that's not what I really want in the inside, but that's what I'm presenting
myself.
That's
what I'm hearing. And he's sitting there going, I don't know if I want this deal. And you're pushing it on him. He wants the sex, but you're telling him what he has to do to get the sex. But it's coming out as too stern.
Yeah.
And your male to male is beaten. It's competing. He doesn't want to be told how to do it. He would rather hear it from a soft feeling centered.
Well, today I did say to him a passage that was in the book. I did express to him, I attempted to be in my feminine, and I did express to him that he said, I told him that I appreciate him calling me last night. I appreciate, and I know that he's very busy, and I appreciate the call. But I did not like that he said he was going to call me back, and he didn't. And I said to him, what do you think? So he was without words. But at some point, he did say that he was insulted by what I said.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to hear a better way to say that? Really appreciate.
Yeah.
Okay. Whenever you say you didn't call me, you're attacking him. A better way to say it is, I really appreciate hearing from you and thank you for calling. It makes me uncomfortable when somebody says they're going to call me and I don't hear from them.
Okay.
You pointed out you didn't call me and that made me feel bad. So he did something wrong. You put him in the doghouse that he was a bad boy.
Right.
That's how I heard it.
Yeah.
Say it how
I hear it. That's how I hear it when you say it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you would have said it, you know, I really appreciate that you may not have had time to call me, but I really feel cherished if somebody keeps their word, or, you know, if somebody says they're going to call, they call. It makes me feel good. That way you're not directing. He did. You didn't call when you said. It was like a mother scolding.
Yeah, and you ladies did say that I do mother, and I do acknowledge
that I hear mother. You have to keep in what feels good or uncomfortable for you, not what he's doing wrong, because you're doing a lot of you.
Okay.
To him.
Okay.
That's the best thing.
How do I address the being introduced as aunt?
What is the reason you have to know why he, with the business?
Because for what me, is the reason it's just confirmation.
You're wanting control. Okay. You're wanting control on why he introduced you to his aunt, and that's not your business. That's his business.
Okay.
You're just there to receive. Hey, he introduced me to his aunt. I like that. You're not into the go, why did you introduce me? I need to know all the details. That's masculine.
Okay. Now, I am supposed to see the aunt on Sunday and spend one-on-one time with her and her grandson. Do I avoid any topics regarding him and my dismay regarding her nephew, or do I?
I would leave anything alone about talking about him. Don't gossip about him. Don't ask questions from his aunt about him, because that's you undermining him.
Okay.
Just enjoy the aunt and stop. Don't bring him in on what he's doing, why he's doing it, or how you want him to get on board.
And what do I do if she asks me?
You just say we're fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very
and
much.
If you want to be feminine, it's more than you know, just communicating, you know, some uncomfortable feelings. You have to actually embody it and do it 24/7, not pick and choose. You want to be feminine.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to work on. Even at work, I'm just choosing at this point, at this stage of my life, just to be 100% in my feminine.
Everybody at work is masculine. When you get off work and you're around this man, you got to get out of your head and wanting to control. You have to stop wanting to know information, reasons, logic, whys, why he's doing this, and control.
Okay.
That's the best information.
I will work on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank
you. Guys have an awesome day.
Thank you. Any comment on that one, Kelly?
I want to say good luck, caller. And you're stepping into the mother, and the mother is masculine. Mama is masculine. And so a lot of people don't understand that. They're like, no, this mom's a woman, but that is not the energy that mama has.
Not to make her prove a point, but we get a lot of ladies that say they're feminine, but when they actually talk it, it's not feminine, because you do it on a subconscious level with what you're comfortable. So in Pat's ladies groups, in my ladies groups, in yours, we teach ladies how to truly be in their feminine, and we make them process it and do the work to where it becomes familiar and it becomes a habit. Because you could listen to this information and go, okay, I got it, but you have to actually get out there and do it. That's the part that comes unnatural and hard. I have my ladies try to say stuff nice and be vulnerable. They're like, oh, it's hard. I can't say that. It is hard. It's hard to be vulnerable and talking feminine. We're too used to being in our head and controlling and figuring things out.
That's true. And especially specifically a certain type of situation in your life where you've had to be the masculine energy, not only at work, but then when you come home. I get a lot of that with my gals that are single mothers. And it's rugged, because with a single mother, you are the masculine mother and you have to be the masculine father energy as well. So stepping out of that particular mindset is hard. And yeah, we don't hear ourselves. Until we hear ourselves, we don't hear ourselves, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Or, you know, like I could zero in and hear the information, but I was the same way. I did all the wrong things. And it takes honestly, you know, about a year or two, and it's hard work to catch yourself, and then it becomes easy. But the first couple months of switching, it takes a lot of work to sit there and get into your feminine and stay patient, passive, and vulnerable, and keep your yang mouth shut. Because we all want to know how to control everybody else around us so we get the best results. And controlling the outcome is masculine.
Well, one of the things that we don't control when we're in that state is we don't control our damn yang mouths. We have to learn to control our damned yang mouths. And, you know, Pat talks about faking Veda. And the truth of the matter is that it is faking.
It is. Not you're doing it for the team to get to stay in an energy.
Yeah, so it takes work to do it. It's not something that you just go, I'm just going to fake Veda today.
I'm going to be feminine today, and then you just keep walking the same step that you're used to, and the same material comes out of your mouth.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing when she says it, and they get so upset sometimes. They're like, I wasn't being masculine. And I'm like, no, your yang mouth was just flapping in the wind. It was just a
But you know, to be honest, it's what's familiar to them that you have to really, really catch yourself and practice and have coaches and people steer you to the good way to communicate, the better way to communicate. Not that their way's wrong, but if you want to get a different result, the result you want, that looking for, the two energies have to complement each other.
100%. It isn't that they're wrong. If they want to be in the masculine, they're 100% right. But they're telling you, they're saying one thing and they're exhibiting another. So they're saying, yeah, I want to be feminine, but they're exhibiting masculine. And it's okay if you want to be the masculine energy. And if when you finally get into a relationship where you're truly waltzing, one at some points in time, you will be the masculine and he will be the feminine, and vice versa. But until you can get to that place where you're not, you know, dancing with yourself and you're dancing with somebody and you're having the right moves. There can't be two people leading. There can't be two pilots.
Yes. And you can't drag somebody along with you to do it your way, because then you'll be mad at him, but you actually picked him. You picked him because you were so controlling. You will pick a weak man that you have to lead, and then you won't like it because the two energies stick together like a magnet. If you're super strong and controlling and masculine, you're going to find a weak, wobbly man because they attract each other like a magnet. So if you want to attract a healthy masculine man, you have to be a healthy feminine energy female.
100%. And then that's another thing too. I had a couple of ladies that actually worked with their partner. And I had that experience of working with my partner. And I'll tell you what, that is a whole different ball of wax. And trying to step out of the masculine work into the feminine at home when you work from home, whoa.
Yeah, it takes work.
It really does. It's not easy. And people don't understand it. You don't just fall into a relationship. Relationships that are worth it take work. Yeah. You got to do the work.
Yeah. So I want to advertise, like, if anybody out there wants to join the ladies groups, we're full for the month of June, but we have a wait list for July. Contact me at the office at 949-723-0338, or you can send me an email at info@drpatallen.com. So we're going to end the show, and please stay tuned the following at 5 o'clock, and Patricia with the dream life and have your dream interpreted. Kelly, do you have any closing things you want to say for the audience?
Yeah, I just want to say, everybody, we love you. Stay in your good energy field of, you know, passive patient and vulnerable. And don't forget, if you're having trouble figuring out what's going on with you and you need a little help, the life script is the way to go. Pat is brilliant at it. And you can reach out to Sue and find out how to do that. Until next week, we love you.
Bye. Bye, folks.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.